Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. This week we are reviewing The King's Man for you. My name's Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Straight into it then for this prequel to the previous two Kingsman films. It's directed again by Matthew Vaughn, written by he and Carl Gajdusek. It's based on The Secret Service by Mark Millar and Dave Gibbons. Stars Ralph Fiennes, Gemma Arterton, Ry Stefans, Matthew Good, Tom Hollander, Daniel Brühl,
Jomin Honshu.
Yeah, him. And Charles Dance. And Harris Dickinson. It's 131 minutes long. No word on the budget, interestingly enough, that they normally have here. Yeah. Box office at time of recording is only $52 million. Wayne, what is The King's Man about?
The King's Man is about how the Kingsman organization was founded. The movie is based around the World War I times and explains how basically the organization came to be what it is in the other two movies. It's that really.
Pretty much straightforward. The reception at the box office? Well, Rotten Tomatoes has said it has an approval rating of 42% based on 153 reviews, the average score 5 out of 10. On Metacritic, the film gets a weighted average of 44 out of 100 based on 38 critics. And CinemaScore gets a B plus on an A plus to F score from audiences.
Are they ever bad, those scores?
Well, they seem to be marked very generously, don't they?
No, when you're at a premiere, you're amped up. You want the movie to be good.
Well, they get people out of random screenings, I believe, is how CinemaScore works. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I think that's the way it goes. All right, then, Wayne, without any further ado, what do we think of this third film in the Matthew Vaughn Kingsman universe?
Oh, Polly. This franchise is a favorite of mine. Wait, the Kingsman, the first one, was basically one of my favorite cinema going experiences, I would say.
It also represents something more important than that.
What?
It's the first film we ever reviewed in episode one.
Yeah, it is. Countdown
Moving TV Reviews podcast.
I forgot. That started
almost 7 years ago.
Look at that. It started the show just about, right? So I got big fucking heart hits on this one, right? Second one dropped the ball, okay? He just went too far with the fucking robot dogs and shit. And
it wasn't as good, right? It was long.
It was still entertaining.
And it was boring.
Yeah,
it had moments.
Definitely had moments. And I would say this does too.
And I think the stupid part of the second film was bringing Harry back. Terrible, terrible decision. He should have stayed dead. We could have got rid of that whole ridiculous amnesia sort of subplot. And we could have had Mark Strong's character step into Harry's place. I think that would have fixed almost that entire film.
That's actually
maybe other than
call.
The robot dogs.
Fair call. Fair call. But this one, I was watching it and going and expecting what one might expect an action movie when you come to this type of franchise. And I'm halfway through, I'm going, this is a drama. This is a fucking drama, man.
Well,
it's a half and a half. What it is, it's an inconsistent action movie.
Yes, tonally all over the place.
Dude, it feels like half the crew were trying to make 1917 and the other half of the crew were trying to make a Kingsman film and none of them got their way.
Well, I actually think it's even worse than that. I think there is those real dramatic elements in between and then there's these really poor attempts at black comedy throughout the film. I don't know if a single, maybe once I went, huh, the entire film.
I don't know whether I audibly laughed or not, but I appreciated the small comedic moments, right? But I was so confused, not confused, but like just, it jumps from serious war movie with something to say, and then it goes to that goofy aesthetic, which is more the brand. But what happens is this film is oddly self-important in moments, and unfortunately, you can't do that with this film. A Kingsman movie can't be self-important. At the end of the day, it's got to be a gag, a lark,
It should be fun.
It should be fun,
I know it's violent in places, but remember the first film ended with basically people's heads blowing off in sort of colourful fireworks.
Yes, and it was done kind of artistically and funnily. It's presented a little bit like Suicide Squad, the last Suicide Squad, right? You're like where it's violent but it's fun. You know, like that's what it should be.
It's so OTT that it's not played realistically. It's not played for pathos or trauma.
Exactly. Yet this one, it goes back and forth between them and never satisfies you one way or the other.
Well, I disagree. I think, if I can jump in now,
my general impression is that you're
100% right for the first half to two-thirds of this film. You nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely nailed it. Where the film comes alive, for me, where it starts to work, is in that real World War One sequence that happens about, like I said, half to two-thirds of the way through the film. After that, that's the film I was looking for.
All right.
That's what I wanted to see. And I'm like, yes, finally. But I had to suffer through 80-ish minutes.
Yes. It takes so long to get where it's going.
Oh, we're being a drama and we're being a thriller and then we're being this ridiculous comedy with Rasputin's so over-the-top character. And then we're throwing in some occasional little action beat with the flared kind of camera work and whatever. but it's not long enough. It's not satisfying enough. No, it's not. I was like, hang on, isn't this meant to be an action film at the 70-minute mark?
Absolutely.
What is going on here?
No, I'm watching a lot of fucking angsty fucking family drama. Yes. I'm watching, you know, a father who's got a problem with war and he's a pacifist.
He's a pacifist now.
Sort of, you know, and I'm sitting there going, this is really a bit bitey for what I was expecting. Mm-hmm. This is, I don't know, man. This is the problem with, like, you know, the Lone Ranger, not to compare, but like the Lone Ranger. Is tonally weird, just war all over the place, and that's what makes it a bit. The actual moments in the film are fine. Those scenes are fine. It's a fucking, you know, it's a big Hollywood movie. This one here, much the same. It's just like it's being crammed in as a... It's a charismatic cast. I think that Ralph Fiennes is great. I think the boy playing his son is fine. I think
everyone's just fine.
Gemma Arterton is probably...
She doesn't have a lot to do.
She doesn't have a lot to do, and but she's...
the only woman with any kind of significance in
yes,
the film,
too.
Yes,
she has agency, so I find that she's a bright spot for me. Even Jaimon Honshu, his character and stuff, is kind of cool. Like, I like both. Yeah,
I think
like
the
those
characters
two.
were cool enough, and the group that comes together eventually to form the Kingsmen are all cool.
Yes, when they finally do
when it. When they finally do, but that's what I'm saying. It takes till the very end of the film, not this big mission that kind of culminates the film without being vague for spoilers, because we'll save that for the other side of the spoiler drop. I'm like, here's the film I was looking for.
Yeah, yeah. You know what it was? When you watch Matthew Vaughn do the first Kingsman movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can tell he just wanted to make a James Bond movie, but he wanted to make it funny.
Right.
And that's what happened, right? Second one's a bit of a this one.
Well, it's almost an origin James Bond film.
Yes.
Almost.
Yes. And now this here is an origin MI6, I guess, kind of, or whatever, you know, like whatever you call that organization, right?
The Kingsman.
Yes. The Kingsman, but I mean, like his, you know, this is how that agency came to be. So, but what I think he's doing is I want to make a war film. And then he does this. The other one was, I want to make a James Bond film, and it works, because it's funny.
No, I don't think it's a war film. It's a terrible war film. It's a war film.
It's definitely a war film.
Other
dude.
Than one excellent sequence in the middle.
Yeah, and I think, like, I know what you're referring to, and to be, there was a surprise, shall we say, for me. I said, oh, that was a surprise, right? And I remember thinking, Paul would love that, right?
Yeah, again, we'll wait for spoilers.
Yes, we'll wait for spoilers, but, and so there's that, but unfortunately, that type of surprise is harsh in a way that I wasn't looking for in this movie. I need you to fucking make me laugh more often or at all.
Right. So your expectations weren't matched by what was delivered. I think that's fair in a certain way. But to give you one graphic example of what I'm talking about in that tonal shift.
Go on.
We get this big scene where two characters, father and son, are talking, and they're talking, you know, about his passivity code and how it all means. And almost the very next scene, he's basically baiting his son to be, you know, the targets of sexual interest from
someone, yeah,
that's fine to say, I think.
Yeah.
And it's like, hang on, and now we're playing it for laughs, and I'm like, this doesn't work.
Yes, that's it.
At all.
You know what? There's one thing about Matthew Vaughn films like this that, and it's something that I love, which most people are put off by. He will do a scene, and it will conventionally be a good-looking action scene or something, but he'll put something really like risque in it. Like, for example, Rasputin head fucking the dude, like, you know what I mean, like, just like that. It's like, oh my god, that's a bit weird, you know, like, and it's I actually like him just going, you know what, I'm R-rating it for the sake of it, boom, and put something at the end of the first Kingsman movie ends with fucking Taron Egerton butt fucking that woman. Well,
if you rescue me, I will,
yeah, and then they show her the ass, and I'm like, what the fuck, and then me and about 10 other guys in the cinema were like,
well, a lot of people,
and most
a lot of
people
are
like,
that
was my girlfriend at the time was like, I don't like that ending. I'm like, why? Some people like it in the ass anyway, so so, but that's what I mean. His whole style is, this is irrationally R-rated. Stick it in there, right? So he does that here, and I did enjoy bits of that. But because the tone of everything else was off, it didn't fit in the movie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm not sure what does fit in the movie, because it's so all
I don't think anything fits in the movie. It's just, we're not sure what type of movie it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, I think that's our general view of The Kingsman. Without getting into spoilers, it's difficult to talk about it any further than that. I didn't think it was as well filmed, other than say that.
No, these scenes aren't as
cool.
There's
a couple of bits towards the end. Like, oh, here we go. Here's a little bit of the flash and pizzazz I was looking for from Matthew Vaughn.
But again, a little bit.
The effects were pretty poor on the big screen, I've got to say. That, some of that opening shot, I'm like, that looks so CG. That's PS3 level
really?
CG. And they've had all this extra time to work on this, because it was originally slated to come out right around the time COVID hit. So they had a lot of time. I know you don't get a lot of budget just for the shit sake of it, but still, I thought that was poor. I thought some of the CG towards the end was pretty poor too. It's too cartoony for the world.
Here's
that
the thing,
this film inhabits.
Normally, if you're telling me about a Kingsman movie like this, like, oh, well, when I watch it again, I'm going to look out for that. I don't know that I'm going to watch this again, Paul. And it's a Kingsman movie, and I'm not going to watch it again. Something went wrong.
Understandable. All right, that's our general view of The Kingsman. We're going to get into definite spoilers if you haven't seen the film yet on the other side of Jack.
You can't handle the truth!
And, okay. Wayne, the truth is that this film, I think, drops the ball. I have this you know, overall, I had this slightly better than the second one because I was so gutted by how bad the second one was. My expectations were lowered on this one.
I thought this would be his coup de grace. I thought this would be his return to form.
They're talking about making another one with Taron Egerton and what's his name? Harry back.
Colin Harry's Firth. Dead!
No, not at the end of the second one.
Harry died.
At the end of the second one?
Which one's Harry?
The first one.
Which one's Harry?
Colin Firth.
Oh, Colin Firth. Yeah. Sorry, Mark Strong was thinking of.
Yeah, Mark Strong's dead. Yeah. Well, who knows?
Who knows, series. Exactly.
Yeah,
he blew up, though, so good luck.
Sophie Cookson got killed at the start of the second one, which is also a disappointment to me. And then we bring the Statesman in, and they gave a little allusion to that here in this film. There's a few nods.
You know what,
that
Statesman thing, well, I didn't have a problem with the Statesman thing.
It was fine, but I didn't do enough with it, didn't make it interesting enough or engaging enough. This film, I hated the first half. Halfway through, I was like, arms folded, sitting there going, oh my God.
I agree.
What is this? This is terrible.
It got boring.
None of the action's good. I don't give a fuck about, oh, well, we're working in real human characters like Rasputin and whatever else. And
that was the best thing about it.
I didn't give a shit about it, though, because you know, Tom Holland is playing all three of the cousins who are the kings of Britain, Germany, and Russian and whatever. It was just, I didn't care because it wasn't funny and it wasn't quirky. It was quirky, but it wasn't engaging. And the action was shit. Until we get to the sun getting to the Western Front.
Yes. That was cool. And we had fucking that whole silent fight on,
awesome.
On the, that was really cool. And a lot of things
happened.
And then
we're getting a bit of, and like, oh, we can't fire because everyone will just start shooting, and then that shit all happens. Great stuff.
I know, right? And then the heartbreak of he manages to actually rescue the guy who's got the intel.
Yep.
Gets all the way back to the trenches. Oops, he's been impersonating a fucking corporal.
He's been impersonating Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Was it Aaron Taylor Johnson?
He's barely in this movie.
No, he's got, like, as I said, they're looking at it. Is that him?
Yeah.
It is him.
He was playing the Scottish guy.
I didn't know Reese Barnes was
Stanley
fucking...
Tucci's in this film for 15
seconds. Exactly. Fuck all.
And there was someone else who was in it for just about no amount at all. I'm like, oh, what are we doing with... Oh, Daniel Brühl.
Yeah.
What's going on with this? This is weird to cast these people.
So typically what the... I don't know. My the way I look at this is that if you have big names and they have 10 lines, right? Your movie has undergone massive editing. Right?
Yeah, you're probably
Someone's gone and either you shot pickups with guys that didn't have much time.
Yep.
Right? Which I don't think happened. Or there's something so wrong with the movie that you've had a script doctor and an editor and someone come in and all of a sudden you've got these like, oh, these big names doing fuck all.
You could be very right. I guess maybe I gave more of a benefit of doubt and I thought perhaps they were planning a sequel which has all these guys, and of course where the film ends, it does imply that Stanley Tucci's part of the new Kingsman. He's one of the Kingsmen, the inaugural Kingsmen. And maybe Daniel Brühl's the bad guy in this because he doesn't die, he just disappears.
Well, then the only way that this works is that they filmed that second movie already. And these guys, you know, like that's, oh, okay, it's all back. So yeah,
you're probably much more right than I am.
Yeah, it's so weird, man. It's a weird thing. But like,
yeah, so
I know
he impersonates Aaron Taylor Johnson's character.
That's right. Comes down, someone finds him out and says, I know the person you say you are, and I haven't seen him. You're a fucking German spy. Blam! Shoots the sun. And
you can't handle the truth.
Bro, when he went slow-mo, I was like, what the fuck?
My jaw dropped.
Mine did too. And I'm like, this is like two-thirds into the movie, right? And I'm like, that means this whole movie now is about someone else.
Because I thought the whole film was about he was going to be the first Kingsman.
Exactly, because he looks like he would be one.
So I had to give the film props for that. It totally shifted my perspective. And then it turns out that it's actually Oxford, so Ralph Fiennes' character.
Mm-hmm.
He is the guy that then steps back into the, so to speak, into the hot seat after he gets a harsh talking to from Polly, Gemma Arterton.
That's right.
And now I was wondering the whole way through the film, the way he looked to her immediately, come to my chambers, Polly.
Yes, yes.
I'm like, oh, is he going to give her a bit of a spanking for doing something wrong?
Exactly.
Is he? Oh.
I understand.
Gemma Arterton.
Yeah, man. She was in Contra Basolas. Fantastic.
And then she finally kisses him on the lips when she says, I'm quitting because you are a shell of a man and you are not honoring your son. And I'm like, oh, so they do have a thing or is it just a moment?
No, this is a moment, right? I've actually seen this in scripts before, right? There's a character, two male and female character, right? The female character, both strong, they're both leads. The female character leaves. You might think there was a thing between them, but not really. What happens then is the woman, when she leaves, she gives the man a kiss on the lips, but it is devoid of passion.
Oh, this was passionate.
This was like, nah. No, it wasn't passionate
to
stick your tongue in their son.
It was more than that. It was full of regret and remorse.
She was crying a bit, she was like about to cry.
I think
you've
undersold that entirely. There was more to it than
the
that.
The thing is, if you're going to do...
I'm not saying they were together, but it did make me wonder. Because I'm like, oh, so there is this thing between them.
I don't believe they were together, but I believe he'd hit it if he had to.
Oh, well, I think... I actually think that they do have something going... Well, I like to think that maybe they had something going completely and utterly inappropriately, of course, because of power differentials. But As we find out.
It's an unofficial job, Paul. There's no HR division.
As we find out, she is very powerful unto herself and probably really runs the whole shop anyway.
Well, so. I thought that from the beginning because she fucking gave him shit. And then it was like, and he's actually pandering. He's like, well, they had a drink together
and whatever else. And you know what I mean? Like, she's very much an equal to him.
Absolutely.
Which makes me think that I wonder. I don't know. No, I think it was unrequited. I think it was kind of an acknowledgement. Yeah.
That's what I think.
They
too.
Could have.
They could have. Yes. So that was it. And I think that's why. So Ralph Fiennes gives everything to his performance.
Unrequited implies she wanted he didn't know. Just that. We're not appropriate to be this way together, but there is that passion between
and so that's what I think. Like, Ralph Fiennes' performance, he does give everything to his movie.
He was the best of the lot.
Yeah, and the movie doesn't know what to do with him necessarily, right?
Well, he had the most to do because he has to do so many different fucking things, lurch from being comedic to being tragic to being an action hero. So
yeah, and that's, you know, I like the fact that he had a fucked up leg because that first blam, 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 blam in the beginning where, like, this the sniper goes and takes out everyone. Yeah, you knew the mother was going to die. But it was still, like, quite, again, it's oddly harsh, you know? And
I didn't mind that. No problem with that. I just think it took way too long putting the characters in place.
Yeah.
I thought that Matthew Good, now I will give the film slight credit. I did forget about him.
So did
But I 100% knew he was, if not the bad guy, I knew he was a bad guy. Just the way he was hanging around the edges. And I'm like, well, you don't have Matthew Good in a film like this. Unless he's got a more substantial role.
Well, hang on now.
That's what I could have said about Daniel Brühl and whatever
else. That's what I say. I think Matthew Good is a less big star than Daniel Brühl. That's what I think.
But I instantly went, just the way he was responding and some of the comments he made to Charles Dance's Kitchener was, I'm like, oh, he's definitely a mole back for this big group of super baddies.
But you forgot about
him. Then when he disappeared, which of course we didn't see him die, and I knew when he walked out, like, oh, he set this up for the boat to blow up.
Are we to assume he was on the boat when it blew up?
Yeah, didn't you see the quick shot of him being in a rowboat rowing away from it before when they flash back to sort of show?
Yeah, but like, were we, when Charles Dance died, do we assume he died as well? Yeah, okay, there you go.
But I should have realized it was him. I just,
well, I thought it was Hamish McBean. I thought it was fucking Robert Carlyle because he sounded like him and his head looked the same.
Really? I thought it was by voice. I thought maybe it was McAvoy, James McAvoy.
James McAvoy. Well, he can do any voice, but yeah. That, you know, and having the bag. To be fair, I also did forget, but also I don't expect to remember. So I was thinking, oh, it's that guy. Okay, and then the fight sort of on top of the plateau.
Well, that fight between them where we got that the point of view of the swords was awesome.
Yes. That was very cool.
I'm like, oh, that was Matthew Vaughn flourish.
Exactly. And he had fuck all of it, which is what makes me think that he had someone intervene somewhere or he just fucked up and he couldn't get it back on track again. That's why I think all these big actors have tiny lines and stuff. Unless his red herring was that all these big actors, it could be any one of them.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? All of them don't have fuck all lines.
But we knew it wasn't Daniel Brühl because he was reporting to the guy.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I know. it's hard to actually, like, I can't really defend this film. It fucked up.
I am going to defend it. I'm passing this film. I think the second half of this film is the film you came for.
Yeah.
Well, I came for.
Me too. You know, it's closer to
his death, his son's death, and they form the Kingsmen together, and you know that network of servants and butlers. And
that was all very fun.
That was all cool.
That was good.
And they go off on this mission together. We get a little bit of banter between, you know, I can't remember his name, but Jomin Honsu's character,
and he
like, oh, I do anything for you, but I can't jump out of a plane.
Yeah.
All that stuff was fun. She's a sniper taking him out. The dude's on the big stupid lift because, of course, if you're a super villain, that's what you're going to rely upon, a bit of rope and a fucking carriage.
Yeah, yep.
Stupid, but still fun. Like, all that stuff I can forgive. I think, enjoy. I was right behind. I'm like, oh, finally, we got here. The film I wanted to see. Can we just get rid of the first fucking 90 minutes?
Because is it 90 minutes that it took to get there?
Yeah, I didn't hang around. If there was an after credit sequence, what was it?
The after credit sequence was that there were bad guys in a room still, the old crowd. Because did the guy die? He died, didn't he? The
Matthew Good's character.
Matthew Good, yeah.
Yeah, he fell off the cliff.
He died, right. So there was basically a room where the older, it's seen that whoever's left of that organization.
Daniel Brühl,
Daniel Brühl, sat there and said, and we got a new member or something, they're talking. And this person walks through the door and it's like, hello. And then the light goes on him. It's Adolf Hitler. So the idea being that all the bad cunts in history actually knew each other and hung out together.
And the Kingsmen had to.
Which I don't mind. I don't mind at all. That's a good idea. However,
I was a bit weirded out that the king became part of the original Kingsmen. I'm like, what's he going to do? How's the king going to get away to fucking do anything?
Exactly.
Maybe he can just approve budgets and whatever else.
Yeah, if he's the king, he's got a monarchy and then you have a way to. Well, that's the idea. Like the fact that, because he's Oxford, isn't he? He had to change
Fiennes.
Yeah, and then he changed his name to Windsor, the king did.
Oh, right, okay.
Because, and that's how, you know, it's the current royals.
Duke of Windsor.
Yeah. So All that kind of shit is.
I don't know anything about the German.
He was German. Yeah, he made the points. Yeah. Look, it's the coolest thing about it is that it did that. It actually brings history together. But like you said, it takes too long to get there. And that's the problem with this film.
Too many awkward scenes, like you say, of family drama, of them talking back and forth and whatever else.
Well, think about the end of, let's say, even The Kingsman number 2. The end was that weird diner fight where he had the lasso, mm-hmm. there was a laser or whatever. And say what you will about that scene, it's amazingly filmed because it's the thing where it whips between points of view and it's all one shot and slow-mo. It's actually amazing to watch. There's none of that here. There's the sword thing. That's it. It's not a patch on that scene in terms of difficulty and amazement. So that's why I say it's okay. It looked great in the trailers with the blow up of the shield and he goes through the fucking.
That was good.
All the stuff. There was sort of there, but it wasn't up to snuff. That's the problem.
All right. Well, there you are. That's our review of The Kingsman. Let's find out then. Final scores and any extra thoughts, Wayne, or final thoughts? What are you going?
I've decided based on the performances and the last pop, it gets a 50. It just gets there.
Well, I guess that once again, for the second week in a row.
Oh, fuck off. You're going to give it 51 now after you. Shit, aren't you? You cunt. Fuck it!
Balls. Wayne is Nicotron.
I think not. All right.
New year, new Wayne.
What is your score?
Nicotron, 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, that's according to you. What's your score? 51.
58.
Fuck off! 58's actually high for you.
It's not high for me. It's a soft 3 stars. Like I said, the second half I really enjoyed, really got behind it. The death really shocked me. I liked when they finally came together, when Polly and Shola and Oxford came together to be this sort of inaugural Kingsman fighting this ragtag group of bad guys. Awesome.
Yeah. And I
didn't even mind where it ended. Like, all right, set up now. Good. Can we just forget this and get back to the main timeline?
You know what I think I had a problem with? There's no gadgets in this film.
Right.
I know it's pre-gadgets, but like there was already a quartermaster there. Like, can't you think something up there, Jaimon?
Yeah. Anyway. There we are. That's our review of The Kingsman. Soft recommend for me if you're into the series, but Wayne's basically saying nope.
No, here's the thing. If you like the first two, just watch this one because you have to. It's right. Matthew Vaughn. Support him. He may get the next one right.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried though. That's two pretty average films from him in a row. He used to be such held in high esteem around these parts.
He was up there with these guys, so... Yeah. Sorry, man. Don't De Palma. Just come back with something else.
Come on. One more. Show us what you're capable of, please.
Show
us what you're capable of by sending an email to thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter at thecountdownpc. You can write to us there. Check out the Facebook community links in the show notes where we do a lot of interacting with the awesome folks who listen to this show. And finally, you can follow us through Podbean where we host.
Damn right.
Thanks so much for listening to us again today. My name is Paul.
My name's Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
I stand resolute, motherfucker.
Wayne is Negatron. We'll catch you next time. See ya.
See ya.